Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit in creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have a very special guest. I know I say that all the time, but this man truly is special. This is Steve West, founder of The In Crowd, who's been involved with social justice causes since his youth. Steve integrated his career between entrepreneurial social justice volunteering and business. A leader in the fair housing movement of the 60s, he took on world hunger in the 80s. At the same time, he focused on third world development and has been involved with that since 1980. West's unique experiences in social justice issues give him a unique perspective for working in underserved communities. I'm not going to read the rest. I'm going to let Steve tell us all about it. This man is incredible. And I just want to say that he is the brand new winner of the Volunteer of the Year. You can tell us what it is, the FACA, the 45th Annual Training Conference. Can you tell us more about that? You're being the Volunteer of the Year?
Well, it was a complete surprise. I never heard of them, but they are a community action and a national organization. And each state has a branch. And someone from the county submitted me, unbeknownst to me, for this award. And when I got the notification that I was the Volunteer of the Year, it looked like one of those things that, send us $500 and we'll print you up in our newspaper or something like that. So I wasn't going to take it. And then the person who nominated me explained that it was a very prestigious award. Many people apply for it. And it is actually, like the Florida person, Volunteer of the Year. And so I went up, Judy and I went up to Orlando. We accepted the award at a luncheon. We met some great people who I think are going to open some doors for us. And it was really something that I am so pleased about. The only consideration that I have about that award is it was given to Steve West. And I keep myself in the background because I've discovered, as we can look around the world today, when something becomes about an individual personality, it usually doesn't end up well. So I put the work in front. So I accepted the award for the partnership. It's the In Crowd Partnership. And I accepted the award for the partnership and for everybody who has made large and small contributions to put us where we are today.
Great. Well, congratulations. And can you tell the audience what the In Crowd Partnership does?
Sure.
What it's about? Okay, yeah. Great.
Well, a little slogan. We don't do any advertisement. Everything is word of mouth, and we don't go after any awards. And I'll explain later, we don't go after any, we don't accept any money. The little slogan that I use is from the hands that have to the hands that are in need. Mm. And it literally describes our major program. We have several programs, but our major program, which is that when I started this, I noticed around me, everybody thinks about things from scarcity. You know, there's plenty of poor people, but there's not enough. There's not enough to fill the need, and so we have to allocate, and we have to just scrimp to get stuff. And I said to these people who are in the field, well, there's an abundance of need. There's also an abundance of supply.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to prove that. And I get a lot of pats on the head, you know, that sounds so nice and all. But we've proven it now over the last 5 or so years. And I get so much merchandise and needed items from people who have enough and would like to share it, that I have to really rush to keep up to find the people who need it. And over 5 years, we've built a platform on either end. We have a lot of people. We have thousands of people who need that the partnership reaches in me indirectly for the most part, but the partnership are all churches, houses of worship, county agencies, big and small organizations, individuals, people who work directly with the poor, and they know who needs. And we even have access to many of the Palm Beach County poor communities that have leadership, and the people, the leaders there, know who needs a bed, who needs some clothing, et cetera. So we've got that platform over time really working like a charm. I can get rid of almost anything. And if you ask later, I'll give you one or two of our incredible things that we've been able to make use of.
So how, when you say platform, is it on the computer? Like how, let's say I have something I'm giving away. What do I do? Do I put it someplace?
First of all, you reach me by word of mouth. The word really gets around because people love. So let's say there's a household where the occupants die, mm-hmm. and the kids have to get rid of the stuff because they're selling the house. Well, you can either give it to an organization that is going to take generally 2 months to even look at it. Mm. And when they look at it, what they're going to do is cherry pick. They're going to take what they can sell because that's what they do. And then they have salaries and they have transportation costs and they have store, you know, their warehouse and their showroom. So typically about 10% doesn't even reach people. It reaches an organization like alcohol or substance abuse, a heart, cancer. It reaches an organization. So when you take the original merchandise, let's call it a bed,
mm-hmm.
you take the original bed that somebody is giving, a perfectly good bed, and it gets into an organization, the bed never gets to anybody, and 10% of the proceeds on a discounted price sale get to the organization that's supporting the person with the heart problem. So my model, which is so simple and so doable anywhere in the world, is that we don't have any bank account. Money is not only unimportant to me, it's poison to me for several reasons. We operate with no money. Everything is volunteer. And it's instead of money, myself and all the people who work with me, we get the joy, we get the satisfaction of being able to help. And to those of us who can afford to do that, it's certainly more valuable than money.
So let's say I have a house, I'm cleaning it out. What do I do? Word of mouth. I just tell somebody, come and get it? Or why does it actually
work? Well, somebody's told you about us, or you've heard about us, or your real estate broker knows about us. So we have many ways of getting the word out.
Okay.
And almost all of our transactions are favorable and make people happy. So the word gets around pretty fast and very, very strong. So you heard from a neighbor of your parents that this guy comes, he doesn't charge anything for the pickup. He comes fast. He's got trucks and workmen that know what they're doing. And he takes the stuff and he gives it directly to people who need. And he's got so many people who are in need that he reaches through these organizations that I just mentioned, that it's almost impossible to have to turn anything down. I just tell people, if you give it to your mom, I'll take it. So it can't be dirty and it can't be torn and it can't be broken. But if it's usable, we get full houses, including sometimes the appliances, and we get from dish towels and dishes to television sets to full, you know, bedroom, living room, dining room, kitchen, et cetera.
So I'm interested. So let's say you come, it's my, I don't know, grandmother's house, you take everything in a truck, and then how does it get to the people who need it? Like, let's say someone needs dishes or someone needs a bed. How does it get dispersed?
Well, because we have no money, we have no trucks. However, we have partners that have the trucks. Those partners are the sponsors who sponsor the family that has the need. So they know that somebody is moved, so let's say a veterans organization, for instance, is moving somebody from a shelter to a two-bedroom or one-bedroom condominium.
Okay.
We have access to two- and one-bedroom condominiums, everything from soup to nuts. So that organization either has a truck or for almost no money, they can hire the truck, and we can help with volunteers. They have their own volunteers in almost every case. And I'm going through two of them now, one for this Friday morning and one for next Tuesday, complete houses. So we have people who need we know is abundant. So it's not hard to find somebody who that needs this house. If it's just a bag of clothes, we have people who give out clothes, organizations that give out clothes. And so with all of these various organizations that have their own needs and in their own areas, we cover all of Palm Beach County from top to bottom, east to west. And we can get anywhere and we can get things from anywhere and deliver them to anywhere, all volunteer, all with no money.
Wow.
And it goes 100%. So how would you feel if you had your grandma's house and all of a sudden this thing comes along and you need somebody to pick it up next Tuesday, and I can't do Tuesday, but I'll do it on Wednesday. Everything is gone. My guys sweep and gals sweep the floor. We leave that place better than we found it, and it goes to a place that already has spoken for it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I have to mention this. The one thing that we require from the giver, we call them givers and receivers. So, I'm talking about the joy of being able to know that the things that your parents loved and live with, that they're going to be used, not sold on a mercenary basis or put into the dump, which breaks people's heart. Mm. You can't imagine the stuff that we've saved from the dump. That's another kind of like benefit, recycling.
Yeah. How did you, like, let's say somebody wanted to create something like this in their own neighborhood. How did you start it? I mean, it seems like it's a machine now, but how did you actually start this thing?
That's a great question, because when I moved here to Florida from New York, I knew no one. I knew no one, especially in the Black and Brown community. Actually nowhere, but I needed to get build trust and relationships there to start off. Mm-hmm. So my shirt.
Well, you got to get up a little bit so we can see it. I've seen it already. The identical twins. And there they are. There's Steve. And who's the other guy?
That is Bishop Dukes.
Okay. Bishop Dukes. Hello, Bishop Dukes. And what's the significance? Yeah.
And he and I came from such different backgrounds. Or he was in prison while I was going to college.
Wow.
Nah, he's really redeemed himself. Half of his life he spent doing SEO, selling drugs and stuff. And the other half of his life he spent, I wouldn't say repenting, but with a joy, helping people in all kinds of situations. So we became brothers, and then it's so close, twin brothers. And the only problem that we have, it's his problem. Mom can't tell us apart. Even mom can't tell us apart. And I always tell her she's got a little bit of Alzheimer's. I always tell her, I'm the good looking one.
Yes, you are. That's been.
Yeah. She, mom agrees.
His mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the movie Twins, right? With Arnold, who's up here, and Danny DeVito, who's down here, right?
Yeah, it was a good joke, but the shirt gets a lot of positive comments wherever I go. You know, people ask me, what does that mean? And I get into conversations with people. So I love the shirt. Of course, we had a maid.
Yeah.
It's
great. Thank you. So you started, he was one of your first partners? Is that what?
Well, I started with a... with an organization called MAMA, Mama.
Oh.
And I was introduced to her, and I absolutely fell in love with what she was doing. It was so unique, and she was such a strong person. So I volunteered. I said, you know, I'm not doing any public service work. I'm not going to promise you anything, but I'm going to do whatever I can to help you, because she's a very small and very poor organization. So, excuse me. So I started volunteering for her, and I do everything, you know, over the top. And so it was a full-time job. And she started introducing me to a lot of revs and to a lot of bishops and the Black religious community, which supported her everything but financially, and a couple of politicians and so forth. And then I have other friends, you know, educators who introduced me to school boards, and so. I was able over time to pick up about 100 individuals that are notable people in the community to give me credibility and to be able to call on these people when I needed them to do something. Everybody loves the idea. You know, you've heard the idea, you're in love with it, because everybody wins. So it's an easy sell to sell the idea. And now actually making it happen. I always tell my kids, good ideas are a dime a dozen. Making them happen is priceless. That's one of the things, if I could cross stitch, I'd have it on my pillow. But now it's priceless, because we have a great reputation. We have great partners on all ends. We have the givers and the receivers. And I've got, like I said, several thousand receivers and access if I needed more. And I have givers that are just expanding by word of mouth. And now that with this award, I have a couple of keys to open some doors. And I've been nominated for the national award. I just found out on Friday by the same person, who I don't know why she didn't tell me, because I could have helped with giving her more information. So it's just growing, and it's been since day one, but it was like a snowball, you know, it was a little ball, and now it's like this big giant thing going down the hill, and it has its own momentum. My only problem is, when I started out, I was 80 years old. And I saw this as something that I'm not going to be, I could start and I can make it work, but I'm, you know, coming around the home stretch. So I knew that I needed to find the proper person to take it over. And I still haven't accomplished that yet, although I have some very good probabilities that will happen before my mind and my body goes out. And this way on your show, who knows who's listening, and there might be somebody, because it's not, it's our activity is regional. It's only in Palm Beach County, Florida. Possibility of doing this exact thing. So one of the things that I'm committed to is to mentor and train the right person. But it's got to be a person who will work without money, because I started to say money is poison. A person who will work, who's an entrepreneur, who will work without without a bureaucracy, because thing has to move fast. The one for Friday, the pickup for Friday, I got a call this morning. Emergency. We got to get rid of our parents' stuff, and it's got to be out of here this week. To go to a board of directors for permission for that, you know, it just doesn't work.
So, Steve, when someone has, let's say they have a house, does it all go through you? Are you the point person, or?
Yes, but that's expanding now also. I have one of the county agencies who's taking a good deal of responsibility in the expansion. So,
so otherwise you can't take a vacation, or you're always on, right?
We took our first honeymoon in 6 years. We're going up to Orlando overnight.
Nice. So, all right, for the award.
And it was all work. We didn't see Mickey or Minnie or Donald, but we did.
So you're really the person that's doing it all, right? It comes in to you and then it goes out, but you're the point, right?
Yes, but allow me a little modesty. Nobody can do this by themselves. And that's why, as my circle builds, I have support with some one thing or another thing. And it's a team. That's why I started to call it the partnership, because it really is a partnership. And we're all bound by, everybody's welcome. I don't care about their religion, their politics, their skin color, their nationality. Everybody is welcome to give and to receive. But we have a binding force, and the force is the game. The game is doing good for others instead of sitting around the table lamenting that, we'd like to do something for somebody, but we don't know how, or we'll write a check, and a check to many people isn't really satisfying. You don't know what happens with that.
Right.
Here you. Oh, and I haven't said yet that the completion of this is either the sponsor or the receiver. The only thing they're required to do is to give me a thank you note. And that completes the transaction. It's like going to a wedding and giving a gift and you never hear from the people.
Right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And it's strong for them because they have the feeling of completion. And with it, the sponsors are instructed to tell people, look, this isn't stuff being dumped on you. This is people who care, that are outside the community. They care about your situation, and they're giving you this with love and to help you make your life a little bit brighter. And so I try on both ends to have people connect, even if they're not directly connecting. And the thank you letter does help a direct connection. It's got a lot of, you know, philosophy and spirituality in it.
And does the thank you note end up with the people who gave the stuff?
I have the receiver send, or the sponsor send me the letter. And the reason I do this is because I physically can't chase after people. Did you send it? So they send it to me. I put a little note on it. I'll put pictures on it.
Oh, okay.
We get pictures of every single thing that we give out. So I've got thousands of items, tons of items over the last few years that I've gotten from the giver. All they have to do is give me an iPhone picture, email. That way I can take that picture, send it out to people who I think can use it, sponsors that I think can use it. And they'll say, a red couch, which is going to go Friday morning, a red couch. I don't like, nobody is going to want a red couch. Somebody says, I need a couch. So Ben, this is a beautiful couch. The color doesn't matter.
Right.
So somebody is going to come and say, I can use that red couch. And they got it. And they assure me that they're not going to sell it, and that they are going to give it directly to somebody who is in need, and one of their clients, they call them, or, you know, people that they're with.
So when you get, let's say you get, you know, you get, there's a red couch. Do you send it out to a bunch of places, and whoever says, I need it, gets it?
I did do that on everything. Now, because of how we've grown, I'm going to need somebody to do that. However, a volunteer to do that. However, I know who's going to need a couch or a bed or a bag of clothing. So I can pretty much just pick up the phone. And if they're not available, I can pick up the phone again. So it's kind of an instant.
And how do you know? Because they've told you what they need?
I'm working with them. I've been working with them, some for weeks, but many for years.
Okay.
And they have their own list that they can call. So let's say, using an example, that county agency I mentioned, and we work with a few county agencies, but this one's particularly cooperative. And they have churches that they work with. They have 82 communities, poor communities, that they're responsible for. So I don't have to call around a lot.
Right.
Call Houston. He'll pick up the phone and call a community or two, and they'll say, red couch, we'll come get it.
Wow.
We haven't talked about transportation, because there are three elements to this thing.
Okay.
First one is the giver. We have to have stuff. The second one is the receiver. We have to have people who can use it that we can give it to. The middle one is the transporter. And that I always felt was going to be the difficulty. To my surprise, it isn't. It eliminates some people who could receive, because they have no way of getting it. And what I try to do for them is have the sponsors work together. You know, you're picking up a whole, on Friday, somebody's picking up a whole truckload from a whole unit, and the red couch will fit on there, and they could drop it off for the other who's in West Palm Beach, is nearby, and people are very cooperative to do that. So somehow, because I'm an entrepreneur, so I have to figure out how to work out these little glitches and learn from how we've done it before, and learn who will do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instantly, it, like you're pointing out, it doesn't all come, but 80-90% of it comes instantly. And then you figure out how you don't turn something down. Can I tell you now about it was in the beginning, but about maybe the toughest thing that I ever had to get rid of. Lady calls, and she said, I have 2 tons of pavers. Pavers are those little bricks that you make driveways out of. Used here in Florida. I said, what am I going to do to myself? What am I going to do with 2 tons of pavers? I'm looking for clothes and food,
right?
Television sets. So I said, I'm not going to promise you, but I'll make a couple of calls and see if I can find something. Picked up the first call. That was Houston, who I just mentioned, the guy at this agency. He said, Steve, it's a miracle. Yesterday, I had a client come in, and they live on a major road, and a driveway is a mess. The police stopped there after warning them several times and gave them a $50 ticket. Now, this father is unemployed. The family is dirt poor. They're living on total welfare, and he's got this $50 a day ticket, because the cops have got to come back every day until you fix it. So we make a call to one of the communities, and you know there's a guy there with a pickup truck that we get a lot of stuff for. He says, I'll help. He takes his pickup truck and delivers 1 ton of, you know, half of the material, goes back and delivers the other half. Meantime, the family is getting the neighbors and their relatives. We had somebody, you know, tell them how to do it, but it was, you know, it's a pretty simple job. And the next day, they had a new driveway, and all of the debris, the volunteer took to the dump.
Wow.
So
That's unbelievable, right? That's
I can do math. I can do anything.
Yeah. That's incredible, right?
Yeah. But it is, you know, it makes people feel, everybody feels good. How can you, you know, how can you say no to Steve? I'm gonna give you a chance to really help somebody who's in trouble.
Yeah. Wow. Now, all right, it's time for our commercial break. This is amazing. It's really amazing. I have so many questions, but all right, we're going to come back and then we'll keep talking and we'll find out more and how people can start these in their own neighborhood, right? I mean, it's incredible.
Well,
right?
I never said the words. I'll mentor them. Anybody who wants to start, I'll mentor them on the phone and email. So they can have total access to me. I work from 9:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. My phone and my computer open. Anybody calls after 9:30, Judy goes to sleep at 10. I'm in trouble. You're in trouble if you call me at 10 at night or 11, 12 at night. But I do my paperwork from the end of my phone and computer work until 2, 3 every morning. I only need 5-6 hours sleep. So it's not that I'm working every second. You know, I have a family and you know, Costco and, you know.
Got to eat.
Grandkids. But I'm available really around the clock. So I'm really easy to work. And because myself and anybody else who does this, you can do all of it from your house. My trip up to Orlando was the farthest I've traveled in since COVID.
Wow.
And I, that was one of the reasons I was going to refuse it when I found out it was legitimate. I got to drive all the way 3 hours and back. So they will put you up overnight. Just come. You can relax, you know, organization. So anyway, you want to take a commercial?
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
Hey, it's Hillary from Getting Real with Hillary. I want to share something really powerful with you today. Jerry Dale was deep in the music industry, providing girls, drug, and gambling opportunities, all while justifying it as making a living for his family. He questioned his path, but then God turned his life completely around. Now Jerry's on a mission to redeem and help others find their way back from the dark side. Jerry's book, Music, Porn, and Jesus, A Journey to Redemption, is his raw, real-life memoir of how God rescued him from the music industry, the porn world, and his own rebellion. It's not just a story. It's a testimony of grace, hope, and freedom. Visit IamJerryDale.com to get your copy and join a movement of redemption. If God can do it for Jerry, he can do it for you too. Hey, it's Hillary from the Getting Real with Hillary show. Life can be messy, raw, and real. And sometimes we're afraid to feel vulnerable. We're afraid to be that real self. Well, that's exactly what the Getting Real with Hillary show and Getting Real movement is all about. Being our true selves. Every week, I bring you stories of transformation, authenticity, and hope. People getting real with their struggles, their faith, and their breakthroughs. So don't miss a thing. Subscribe to my weekly newsletter today. You'll get stories, links to everything new, and how to create a life you love every week directly to your inbox. You can also find my books on Amazon. My courageous and riveting memoir, The Second Piece of French Toast, in case you feel stuck in your life, want to get inspired. how I came out about my no sex life and my marriage, and my second book, Real Talk. That one will get you speaking up in ways you've been too afraid to do so, and really creating amazing freedom. And my third book, How to Stop Fixing Yourself and Start Having Fun, the name is called Your Bullshit is Your Blessing. Find links to everything and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Getting Real with Hillary, and you'll find the links in the header. So visit, and you can also visit gettingrealwithhillary.com, because the real you is worth it and wants to come out. So thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Kikori. KikoriApp.com. It's a social emotional learning platform that brings, you'd call it social emotional learning, but it really brings connection and play and helps children connect to their heart. You know, a lot of times kids are anxious and they're in an amygdala hijack and they just can't learn because their brains are, I don't know. I know there's a word for it, but I can't think of it, Steve. I can't think of it. But anyway, regulated. They're not regulated. So this program can really make them so that they can learn. It's fabulous. And parents love it too, because their kids start talking to them. So anyway, go. You can check it out at KikoriApp.com. It's incredible. And just ask for Kendra or Haley. All right. And now welcome back, Steve. Wait, I got a spam here. Okay, here we go. Hello. I was getting a spam. Maybe they're giving me an award and it's not real. Okay, good. Okay. All right, where were we? You will mentor them. You know, it sounds like a lot of work. I know you're an entrepreneur. It seems like you love it. But is there anything you can say about that for someone who thinks, you know, we have a lot of stuff. I mean, we have a lot of stuff. I have a person who takes everything. I don't know where she brings it, but it's really a good feeling because I know it's not getting thrown out. It's getting used. So, right. You know, obviously yours is on a much bigger scale. What would you advise somebody if they wanted to do it?
First, that's the in crowd. And because we have no bureaucracy, which we touched on, everybody is their own in crowd. There's no organization, there's no leadership, there's no direction that you have to do this and you're working here as a volunteer, this is what I want you to do. People do what is in their hearts and their minds to do when they want to do it. So there's a lot of freedom that way. The bureaucracy doesn't go up and it doesn't go down. It doesn't exist.
That's amazing, right?
So a person can, well, there's three things. I didn't say the third thing. No money,
yep.
No bureaucracy, no ego. And that's not necessarily personal ego, but corporate ego. So my feeling is we just do the work and we don't have to get awards and we don't have to get credit, because people get credit so they could get money. That's one of the poison pills of money, is that you have to spend so much time proving to people what you're doing that you're taking time from the work.
Right.
So it's a roundabout answer to your question, but a more direct answer is whoever wants to get involved, we get involved at the level that they want to do. And what you say, what you're doing is little, it's the same model. Mm. It's exactly the same model. You're getting things and giving them.
Right.
You're taking nothing for it except the satisfaction of helping somebody. Yeah. And you're helping somebody on both ends, because the person who needs to get rid of that red couch and the person who needs the couch to sit on and maybe sleep on, they have the joy of giving and receiving, and I have the joy, or anybody who works with me has the joy of helping that, facilitating that.
Wow. All right. So just before we go to your other things, because I want to find out what you were doing before you turned 80, how do people find you? If let's say they like, oh my God, I want to do this. It's steve@in-crowd.com or
well, T-H-E, steve@the-crowd.org.
Okay. All right. And we'll have that in the show notes. steve@the-crowd.org. Okay. So if you want Steve to mentor you, please get in touch with them, just not after 9:30. Well, they can email you.
Before 9:30, because I like to sleep until 8 or 9 o'clock.
Oh, right. Well, if they email you, you can get in any time, right?
Right. Email anytime. Yeah.
All right, great. All right. Now, you had told me at the beginning, unless you want to talk more about that, but you were involved with civil rights, world hunger, and international development. Do you want to talk about that or what you did? Like, I'm kind of curious, what did you do entrepreneurially that you are so good, that you were so good at creating this? Where did you get all your experience?
I helped to start. I was an entrepreneur, you know, a kid who went door to door. The selling stuff and delivering pay, you know, just doing a lot of stuff. And I was very unmotivated and in school and bored in school. But I had a mother who was a real dynamo, and she worked for B'nai B'rith, not worked, but volunteered for B'nai B'rith at a very high level in the Anti-Defamation
League. Oh, wow.
Had a father who later in life got involved in social issues, so I guess that rubbed off. Mm-hmm. And my first experience with a social issue that I can remember was at 5 years old. When I was born, my parents hired a lady from the South, but from North Carolina, to be my nanny. Thank you.
Okay.
And she lived with us, and we had just a little apartment, a little two bedroom apartment, but she lived with us.
Where were you? Where did you live?
In Kew Gardens in Queens.
Okay. Oh, nice.
And she turned out to be my mom. Hmm. And a lifelong relationship. Mm. I got a black heart as well as cotton candy pink skin. Mm. So I was, you know, brought up with two cultures. She used to bring me to Father Divine, and he was very organized, crazy guy, but he was trying to have people of color gain pride and understand who they were and the assets that they had. And that was very good. Mm. The rest of them was nuts. But I had that upbringing by my mother and my father, and I had a sister and Joy. So I noticed at 5 years old, I can remember it distinctly, you know, one of those memories where you can smell the food and feel the wood on the table. Just suddenly, I never gave it any thought, but I noticed we're eating and Joy standing in the back of the kitchen. Something clicked. And I said to myself, that's not right. Why is she standing there? So I invited her to the table. My parents were as liberal as they were. They were unprepared. Mm-hmm. But they said, sure, Joy, come. And after that, she ate with us. She cooked the food, but she was part of our family. Mm-hmm. So, As I grew up, I always remember, you know, my mother's friend sitting around playing cards and saying, oh, the Schwartz is coming. And it was, you know, it was common language. It wasn't nasty, but it was it was not right in my mind. So I would always stop people who were talking like that, especially Jewish people, and give them a little lecture. And the lecture was, you know, our people have suffered for thousands of years being schwatzes.
Mm.
And if you don't take that in and understand that you're delivering what we've received all of these years, human beings are human beings. So you can say the lady who works for us, or, you know, whatever you want to say, but don't be insensitive. And I know I did that many, many times. And then finally, in my education, I went to, my family wasn't religious at all, but I went to a, they wanted me to get bar mitzvah, the worst day of my life. And I really resisted it. Like, I resisted school. And I used to go into that class with this young teacher, you know, just the guy teaching about the Bible and stuff. And he used to tell me things like, this big whale ate some guy. And I would kind of question it. Dang, you go down to the rabbi's office. Well, the rabbi happened to be this incredible human being, philosopher. And I intentionally started this room. And I went down, and then after a while, I guess I just went to the rabbi's office. I wasn't prepared for my bar mitzvah, but I was prepared with the wonderful part of Judaism, mm-hmm. which is the philosophy about giving and questioning. Mm. I think I learned more in that year and a half in that office, and we stayed friends until he died. And he could talk to me, because here I was a kid, I guess I was 12 years old, and he questioned the religion. He was a thinking person, and he had somebody he could talk to that was going to squeal on him and understood. So all through my life, I've had the ability or the luck to be able to hook up with people who have been great mentors for me. And one of them, I guess the most famous one, was Muhammad Ali. And for 3 years, we worked together in World Hunger. I got him to be, for my little organization that I had started, I got him to be the spokesperson. And then I went to UNICEF, the guy who ran it, not Jim Grant, the head, but the guy under him who actually ran the organization. He was also a mentor and a great friend. And I also got him to make Ali the one of the spokespeople for UNICEF. However, at that time, and Ali and I went all around the world, and I was teaching him about the issue. So we went, I won't get into.
How did you meet him?
Somehow I got his phone number and I called him up in California, and I told him what I'm doing. And he says, I don't do stuff like that, but I'd like to talk to you. Please come. And I came to his house, and we clicked immediately.
Wow.
And he was as genuinely nice, humane a person as I've ever met. Whatever that comes across to the public, I mean, he's unbelievable. And we became very good friends and confidants. And traveling together, these experiences I had with Herbert Muhammad and all these people who were milking him dry, and the other people on the other side. And when I was at his house the first time, he wanted to impress me. So he picks up the phone, he calls Michael Jackson. He says, Michael, come over here, I want you to meet somebody. Well, Michael said yes, he never showed up. And he called the mayor, I forgot the guy's name, but he's a famous mayor and of Los Angeles. And he said, he came over right away. And he gave me access to all kinds of stuff. Unfortunately, it was the time that he was getting sick. Mm. And And we didn't know exactly what it was, punch drunk or that disease that he has or just the need for sugar ice to take things of lifesavers and unroll the whole thing and put them in his mouth. So anyway, his fourth wife came in and she cleared the deck and she left one person standing. She cleared all the Herbert Muhammad guys out. And all these people who were using him.
Mm.
The one guy was his childhood friend who was his photographer. And he and I were also very close because we were trying to protect him against bad guys. So anyway, she cleared everything out. And I was the baby with the bathwater. And even the intercession of the photographer who stayed, he said, "You can't throw Steve out." She said, "Everybody's gone." I didn't see him for 10 years. Judy and I, this is one of these crazy things I don't believe in, but it happened. Judy and I were walking in New York City, and we were a block away, two blocks away from the Summit Hotel. We were walking past the Summit Hotel. And Judy said to me, "You think Ali would still recognize you?" I don't know. 10 years I haven't seen him or spoken to him, but I can't imagine that he wouldn't. Question was answered when we got to the marquee of the Summit Hotel. A limousine pulls up, a back door opens, this big guy piles out and bumps right into me. I look up, he looks down, and he says one word, "West." So, it sounds unbelievable. Yeah. We have so many great experiences. And then I got friendly with the first wife, and she lives around here. And had a relationship, and we did some talking together, and she said to me, "You know, the reason I like you so much is that we're like two old wives. I was with him in the beginning. You were with him with the second wife, and we can compare notes." Mm.
So, did you get back with him as a friend after you bumped into him, or no?
No, that was it. The time had passed, but it was wonderful. We hugged each other, wow. And that was the whole conversation.
Wow!
But the crazy thing was that Judy asked this question, and minutes later we bump into each other, and he says,
"West." That's great. All right, Steve. Believe it or not, we only have a couple minutes left. Can you believe it? So, what do you want to leave people with? Like your message to the world?
The world is a tough place now. There's a lot of selfishness. There's a lot of greed. And it seems to have, for the first time in our lifetimes, taken over. We were on a trajectory of moving forward since women got the right to vote and people of color got rights to be human beings. And we were going to the aspiration of our founding fathers that every person isn't equal. We know we're not equal in strength and in intelligence, but every person needs to have equal opportunity to get to be who they are and to achieve their potential. Well, when you achieve your potential, that helps me. Mm. These rich guys now don't understand that they're destroying their markets. You destroy the middle class, you're destroying yourself in the long run. So it's any level. And I feel that if this dies with me, it's going to be a real shame. And I think that I'm finding people now that feel that way.
Wow, that's amazing. That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. I think we could talk for hours and hours. I would love to hear more stories. Thank you so much for who you are, for what you do, and for all the people that you're helping, connecting, and giving joy to. Really, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Kaylee.
Kaylee, yes, thank you, Kaylee, for the introduction. All right, thank you, everyone. See you next week.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.